Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with praising the Lord. Because I tell you what, ain't nobody mad but the Bible says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And every once in a while, you got to sound the alarm and let the devil know you can't get up in here. You can't get nothing up in here. All of this belongs to the Lord. And sometimes you got to open up your mouth and just let the enemy know, let your flesh know, and let the world know you are soul and you belong to the Lord. Ain't nothing wrong with sounding the alarm. Amen. Church, I would you grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles and turn to Genesis. Grab your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. Amen. Grab your Bibles. Genesis chapter 28. If you have trouble finding Genesis, please see me after church. We're going to drop down to verse 10. Genesis 28 and 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants, and your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you. Wherever you go, I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Would that you would pray with me this morning from the sermon topic, you have come to the right place. Look to your neighbor and tell him, you've come to the right place. You could have gone anywhere this morning and took that fishing trip you've been always thinking about, and maybe you could have slept in, and maybe you could have went on vacation, but look to your other neighbor on the other side and tell them, you've come to the right place. God, we thank you this morning. We bless you for the power of your word. Though the flower fades and the grass withers, your word will remain forever. We thank you for how you speak to us, Lord God, and our situations, and give us guidance, Lord. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. The Bible is a book that has its feet placed firmly on the ground. For if you take the time just to take the notice of the many places that are mentioned in Scripture, so many that it's hard to remember them all. The Bible speaks of places like Beersheba, Haran, the Red Sea, the Dead Sea, Damascus, Ephesus, Philippi, Corinth, Egypt, and many others which Jesus walked, such as Jerusalem, Bethany, Samaria, Jericho, Canaan, the Sea of Galilee, the River Jordan, just to mention a few. To this day, Christians all over the world make pilgrimages to Jerusalem just to go and walk in the places where Jesus walked. And it is said that it was Neil Armstrong, the first man to ever step foot on the dusty lunar surface, also took a trip to Jerusalem. And when Neil had walked to the Temple Mount, he asked, put his foot on one of the steps that led up to the temple, and he asked the tour guide, he said, "Is this the place where Jesus walked?" And the tour guide said, "We are almost certainly sure it is." And Neil responded, "Then I feel more privileged to walk here than I did when I walked on the moon." What makes a man say something so profound about a place that is nothing but sand and dirt? It had nothing to do with the place itself, but it had everything to do with what God had done in that place. The amazing thing is that God had healed the sick in that place, healed blinded eyes in that place, gave walk back to the lame in that place, cleansed the leper in that place. It is the places and it is the story that are tied to those places that make them holy. Moses was commanded to take off his sandals when he was at the burning bush, and God told him, "For the ground on which you stand is holy ground." The reason why the ground was holy was not because there was something in the sand and the dirt, but the ground was holy because God was there. And wherever God shows up, it becomes holy. And the mundane becomes sacred. And the ordinary becomes extraordinary because God shows up in that place. And it's amazing to me that God shows up in earthly places. I believe it's theologically safe to say that our God is down to earth. That he's not concerned with the grandiose things that many materialistic people are concerned with. But God, in all of his splendor and all of his glory, in the Bible seems to show up in some of the places that many of us would probably never spend 2 minutes in. He shows up on the backside of a hot and arid and sweaty desert. He shows up in upper rooms. And God shows up in slavery camps in Egypt. And God shows up on mountains. And God shows up in lonely places and happy places and sad places. Jesus Christ was born in an inn with horses, cows, donkeys. A smelly place. It's amazing to me, and that's a word to me, because what it tells me is that no matter what place you're in, God is willing to show up there and meet you there. You don't have to have the red rug thrown out. You don't have to have all the dishes washed, and you don't have to have the pillows fluffed and the floor vacuumed and the air freshener, but God will just show up and come right on in and make himself a home. You don't have to have it all together, but and God will meet us in some of the most ugly and difficult and mundane places and show up and say, that's all right. I didn't come to be entertained, and I didn't come to be catered to, but I came to serve you. I came because you call, and no matter what place you're in, God will show up. God will show up because we have a down-to-earth kind of God. Some people believe that God only show up in some places, but God will come to you if you call on him. And in our text, we find in our text that we have Jacob, who's going from one place, Beersheba, and he's on the run trying to make it to another place, Haran, which is a 550-mile journey. But I have to give you a little background for the reason why Jacob is on this journey. Many of us already know that Jacob in his name means trickster. Jacob was one of those ones that if you turn your head for a second, he'll get you. Jacob was slick. Jacob was cunning. Jacob was a hustler. Jacob was a thief. For the Bible said that he had stole the blessing from his brother Esau, the birthright. And between him and his mother, that he had worked things out so that he could dress himself up like his brother and go into his father Isaac and tell him that he is his brother, so that his father in his dying days would bless him instead of his older brother. Jacob was a trickster. How can you steal a blessing? Now, you know that's kind of low when you try to steal a blessing. Some of us looking around like, that's crazy. But a lot of us have attempted to try to steal a blessing. We try to bootleg Christian CDs. How you expect God to bless you through the album and you ain't pay for it? Oh, we try to bootleg the Passion of the Christ. Hey, you got that copy of the Passion of the Christ? How are we supposed to be blessed through it and you ain't even pay for it? We try to steal the blessing. The bank teller give you too much money. You know it's not yours, but you walk off and say, thank you, Jesus. You heard my prayers. Hallelujah. How you gonna try to steal a blessing? And that's kind of low, but I just wanted to bring it home to us that Jacob ain't alone in his attempt, because sometimes we want to be blessed so bad that we'll do some funny things to try to get it. And so I want to let you know that Jacob isn't like most of us, because when you want to be in the favor of God so bad that you'll do funny things and dress up like other people and try to get what belongs to other people. But don't you know that you ain't got to try to act like somebody else to get the blessings that God has for you? Because what God has for you is for you, and can't nobody stop it. Can't nobody take it. Can't nobody steal it. What God has for you is for you. But when his brother Esau found out that Jacob had went in and his father had laid his hands on him and took his blessing, being the oldest son, he was furious to the point that he wanted to kill Jacob. And Jacob, his mother says, son, I want you to go to Haran and find yourself a wife and start your life, because if you stay here, your brother's going to kill you. And so Jacob takes off running. And he's running to find peace. Jacob becomes a fugitive, and he's running trying to find peace with this stolen blessing. Jacob is running technically from his problems. He's running from his problems because he thinks that if he goes to another place, that his problems won't be there. He's figuring that at home there's some issues and there's a problem. I got my blessing, but there's some problem that folk want to kill me. There's mess in the family. There's mess now. But if I run, I can run from my problems. And if I just simply go to another place, everything will be all right. If I get another job, everything will be all right. If I go to another town, everything will be all right. If I just switch churches, everything will be all right. Jacob thought he could run from his problem. But what do you do when the problem is you? Footnote. If you find yourself hopping from relationship to relationship, from job to job, from place to place, from family to family, from situation to situation, but everywhere you go, there's always a problem that's there. It might not be the place and the people that's the problem. You might be carrying the problem. All right. Could it be that the problem just might be me? He's running because he believes he can run away from the problem, but what Jacob doesn't realize is that the problem is him. What do I do when the problem is me? What do I do when the problem is not what I'm going through? Oh, help me, Jesus. But the problem is I. See, it's hard to run from yourself. Because wherever you go, I say, where are we going? It's hard to run from yourself because I is always there in front of you. I will always confront you and tell you about who you really are. It seems like no matter how much good you try to do, I is always there to remember, to remind you what you did last week. It seems like every time you make up in your mind that you want to start doing a new thing, I remind you of what you cannot do. I remind you of where you failed once before, and I remind you of the struggles and the fears of what you might go to. And too often we come to God asking God to fix our car and to fix our house and to fix our finances and to fix our spouse or to fix somebody else. But how often do we come to the altar and say, it's me? It's me? It's me, oh Lord. And I am standing in the need of prayer. You would see some wonderful things happen in your life when you stop praying for other folk and for God to fix other folk, and when you start praying for God to fix I. When you start praying for God to lay hands on I. When you start praying for God to do something with I. Because if the truth be told, I is messing up a lot of stuff in your life. It's me. I thought it was somebody else. I thought it was where I was living. I thought it was my brother. I even at times thought it was God. But at the end of the day, it was I. It was me. David said, creating me a clean heart, oh Lord, and renew a right. Oh God, see, We done got messed up and we don't really pray how we supposed to pray anymore. We got all those prosperity prayers that we got from the late night preachers, and we get down and we start praying. Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, Lord. God, it seems like I can't keep a blessing, but if we start praying for I, God, teach me how to be a steward. God, teach me how to be a giver. God, teach me how to be somebody that's not all hype about what glides and glitters. Lord, teach me, fix I. God, there's something wrong with I, and it's messing up what you're trying to do to me. And while Jacob was running in the wilderness, he was running and it got dark. You got to remember there were no street lights, there were no headlights, there was no building lights, there were no lights at all. And when you're journeying in this ancient age, when it got dark, it's impossible to travel, for you cannot see your own hand in front of your face. And here David is running. The Bible said that he got tired. Because eventually, my brothers and my sisters, God will let you run as far and as long as you want to run. But what he'll do is the Lord will wait for you to get tired. can't wait for you to get tired from going here, going there, moving here, changing this. Just because you change your hairstyle don't mean your problem's going to change in the morning. Just because you go out and buy you a new outfit don't mean the person that's putting them on is any different from yesterday. And God will let you make whatever changes you want to make. But what he'll do is wait for you to say, I'm tired. I'm tired and it's dark. And when it got dark, Jacob was running and he got tired. He couldn't see no more. And he laid down. And when he laid down in that place, he said, I figure I'll just get some rest. Hopefully I wake up in the morning and all this trouble will just go away. But then God shows up in this hard place. See, God showed up for him. Even though Jacob was in a hard place, God showed up. How many of us ever been in a hard place? And sometimes it's not until we find ourselves in a hard place that God shows up. Not that God was never there, but because it's not until we get into a hard place in our life that we realize God is there. It's not until we get into a hard place in our life that we become less self-conscious and more God-conscious. Someone asked the question, where was God when I needed him the most? He was there when you needed him the least. And sometimes it's not until you get into a hard place in your life that all of a sudden your God senses are turned on and you realize that the God of your salvation has always been there, is always there, but we never notice him until we get to hard places in life. But when he was in a hard place, the Bible said that he grabbed a rock and he put his head on it. God gave him a rock. See, when I was reading the text, I knew something was up with this rock, and I knew it was a gift from God. While he was on this journey, God gave him a rock because the Bible said that he put his head on it. Had the Bible not have been so specific and given so many details, I may have passed over it. If it would have said he saw a rock and just went on about his business, I would have looked over. But it said that when he grabbed the rock, he put his head on the rock and the rock gave him sleep. So I had to step back from the text and I said, wait a minute, this ain't no ordinary rock. Because you got to remember that anytime you read about a rock in the Bible, it should cause for a pause. Because Jesus, don't think that Jesus is absent from the Old Testament. Because the Bible said that even though he had not shown up in the flesh in the Old Testament, John 8 and 58, Jesus told some Jews, verily, verily, I say unto you that before Abraham was, I am. So what that means is that before Abraham was even born, Jesus was still there. And according to 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, my brothers and sisters, this rock is none other than the very presence of Jesus Christ with Jacob. It was none other than David. David declared in Psalm 62, truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. David called him the rock of his salvation because even though life can get shaky and jerk you around sometimes and flow up and down sometimes, I know there's a witness somewhere in this church that if you hold on to the rock, he will hold you together. When your life feels like you feel like falling apart, I wish there was a witness somewhere in the church today that can say that if you just lean up against a rock, he'll keep you from losing your mind. He'll keep you from falling apart. If you just lean and brace yourself up against the rock. Jesus is called the rock because many of the similarities from the rock and Jesus go together hand in hand. Because a rock is durable and lasting. There's no removing a rock. They grow not weak with age, but they continue to be strong just as they were yesterday and today and forevermore. No matter how much you call on them, No matter how many times he bails you out, no matter how many times you pull on him with your knees, the rock will never grow weary. You can never tire God out with your prayers. You can never tire God out with your praise. You can never tire God out with your worship, because he never grows weary. The Lord Jesus has the stability of a rock. He is the rock of ages, Jesus Christ. He'll stabilize your life. He'll give foundation to your life. He'll hold you up when you feel like falling down, and he'll hold you down when you feel like just breaking loose. He brings stability into your life. And like a rock, his strength does not wane over time. No matter how heavy your burdens are, you can still cast them on the Lord Jesus. No matter how low you may have fallen, you have not fallen so low that the Lord Jesus is not strong enough to lift you and pick you up from the place you've been. He's a rock in a weary land. Where Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, if you knew who it was who asked you for a drink, you would have asked me for water and I would have given you living water. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus, when the children of Israel were tired and they said, Moses, give us something to drink. Have you brought us out of Egypt to die of thirst? And God told Moses, God said, Moses, there's a rock over there. And God said, Moses, I want you to grab your rod and I want you to go over there to the rock. And he said, I want you to lift up your rod, and when you hit the rock, water's going to flow from the rock. Prosperity is going to flow from the rock. Forgiveness is going to flow from the rock. Peace is going to flow from the rock. Mercy is going to flow from the rock. Goodness is going to flow from the rock. Whatever you need is going to flow from the rock. Joy is going to flow from the rock. Your purpose is going to flow from the rock. Jesus said, if you knew what it is that I have, that I'm able to give you, you would come to the rock. The Bible said that Jacob put his head on the rock and he fell asleep. Because when you put your mind on Jesus, he'll keep you in perfect peace. God gave him a rock. That's why you can't be moved. Not because the devil can't snatch you. Not because you're so strong, because the rock keeps you still. The rock keeps you anchored. And then the Bible said not only did God give him a rock, but then the Bible said that all of a sudden when he went to sleep, God gave him a dream. A dream is a vision of the future. Something that has yet to come to pass. If you do not have a dream, your future will be little more than repetition of your past. When you no longer have a dream, that's when you have lost your will to live. Maybe Jacob was sitting there. Maybe he didn't mind if he didn't wake up or not. Maybe all he could see was the struggles of his whole life of being a trickster. But when he laid down that night, God gave him a dream of something better. When you love your memories more than you love your dreams, you have lost faith in God's ability to make your latter days even better than your former days. God gave Jacob a dream. Don't underestimate the power of a dream. For a dream is more than idle wondering about the future. Although it is in the future, a dream has the power to radically determine your present. The dream God gave Jacob of what he said he would do played a major role in determining Jacob's present actions. Jacob would have never wrestled with God in chapter 32, saying, "Bless me," if God had not given him a dream that he would be blessed. So God's dream that he gave Jacob that one day he would be blessed caused Jacob to fight for his dream. Your dream causes you to be intentional about how you live in the present, because you are reaching for a particular vision. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King altered the present conscience of a nation simply with a dream. He said, I have a dream. It ain't happening yet, but he said, I have a dream that one day these things will happen. And when folk heard the dream, it motivated them to live in a certain way in the present. God will give you a dream that will cause you to alter the way that you live today. God gave Jacob a dream, not only that he would be blessed, but that he would be a blessing. And if that wasn't enough, God said, even your kids are going to be blessed. Don't be so quick to throw away your dreams just because it's been a long time. God gave you that dream. And if God gave you that dream, you ought to hold on to it and you ought to move toward it with all that's in you in spite of what you see around you. Everyone doesn't have to believe in your dream. You don't have to need everyone on board for you to start believing in your dream. God gave you a dream that you might chase it. God gives you a dream so that you might pursue it and live a life on purpose and not a wandering life. God gave Jacob a dream, and he said in that dream, he said, Jacob, I'm going to bless you. Jacob, I'm going to bless your family and I'm going to bless your kids. Saints of God, can I tell you this morning, don't stop dreaming. Don't ever stop seeing yourself in the future better than you are today. Don't ever stop dreaming about how God can take you from where you are to places where you have yet to become. Yeah, you might be in a situation right now, but a dreamer says, I'm not always going to be in the situation that I'm in today. I'm not always going to be struggling like I'm struggling today. I'm not always going to have to deal with this trial that I'm dealing with today. I'm not always going to have to beg and borrow anytime that I need something. I'm not always going to be the last in line. I'm not always going to be down. I'm not always going to be depressed. I'm not always going to wake up in the morning crying. I'm not always going to have to cry myself to sleep at night. I'm not always going to have to walk around with my head down. I may be like that in my situation right now, but what holds me together, what gets me up in the morning, is that God gave me a dream. I don't know when it's going to come to pass. I don't have any evidence. I don't have any proof, but God has given me a dream that somewhere in my future, God is going to lift me up and promote me. God is going to take me out from where I am. He's going to change my heart. He's going to change my mind. He's going to change my lifestyle. He's going to change my situation. I have a dream. You got to make sure that you have a dream. Because if the truth is told, if you're still breathing, God is not done with you. If you have breath in your lungs, God is not through with you. It's a lie from the pits of hell that you're going to be stuck where you are the rest of your life, that you're going to be going through what you're going through for the rest of your life. Ask God for a vision of what it's going to look like when you come out. That's your dream. And you ought to pursue it. God gave Jacob a dream. God said, Jacob, I know they call you a trickster. I know they call you a thief. I know they look over you. But I'm going to make you great. And you're going to bless so many people. And through you, so many people are going to be blessed. And Jacob, your kids. Jacob said, I don't have any kids. Yeah, but Jacob, your kids. He said, they're going to be a blessing. Sometimes you got to call those things that are not as though they were. God gave Jacob a dream. My saints, my brothers and sisters, don't walk around with no dream. Have a vision. Write the vision and make it plain. Stick it on your mirror. Stick it in your car dash. Stick it somewhere on the refrigerator where you can see it every day that says, God is not through with me yet. God gave Jacob a dream. And in the dream, God opened up the heavens. Now, if God
would open up the heavens for Jacob, if God would open up the heavens so Jacob could see what he has never seen before, what is God willing to open up for you? What doors are God willing to open up with you? What opportunities is God willing to open up for you? Oh, I feel like preaching today. God is getting ready to open up something for somebody in this church building. God is getting ready to give an opportunity for somebody in this building. God is getting ready to give you an opportunity that your credit does not qualify you for, that your background does not qualify you for, that your education does not qualify you for, but God is getting ready to open up an opportunity for you. I know you've been saying that it ain't gonna never come because it hadn't come yet, but God said because you been faithful, because I love you, because you got your head on the rock, God says I'm getting ready to open up some stuff in your life. I'm getting ready to open up some doors that no man can close. I'm getting ready to close some doors that no man can open. I'm getting ready to make a way in the wilderness. I'm getting ready to make a way out of no way. God said I'm getting ready to open up some stuff for you. I'm getting ready to open up the heavens for you and bless you like you've never been blessed before. I'm getting ready to open them up for you and shower you down the blessing so much that you don't have room enough to receive. Slap your neighbor and say, God is getting ready to open up the door. You've been standing outside of those doors too long. God says, open sesame. God is getting ready to allow you to come in and receive what folks said you would never have, what folks said you would never become, what folks said you never can do. God said, you not God, I'm God. And if I be for you, I'm more than the world against you. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but God said, I'm getting ready to open up the heavens. I understand everybody can't deal with this. This ain't a sermon for everybody. But if you had a dream, if you had a dream, you never told nobody, because folk would think you plumb crazy. You never told nobody because you was embarrassed. But if you've ever had a dream, God told me to tell somebody. He's getting ready to open up. Wait a minute. I gotta quit. I gotta get out of here. Listen, I gotta talk to about 15 of y'all who's saying this is going over my head. You saying, how can I do it, preacher? It's a dream, but how can I do it? I don't have the means. I don't have the money. I'm not that person that God want to use. Somebody is saying, I don't know how in the world I can get to where from where I am to the dream that God has put on my heart. I know what I want to be in God, but all I see is the situation that I'm stuck in, and I don't know how to get to where I am to where I see myself in God. But saints of God, the text says that when God opened up the heaven, he threw down a ladder. Y'all missed it. I said that when he opened up the heavens, he threw down a ladder to Jacob. And he said, a ladder is a way, y'all. God said that I ain't gonna give you a dream without giving you a way. Without giving you a way to get to it. God ain't gonna tease you, brother. He ain't just gonna say, look at here, look what I got. You can't get it. But God said, if I show it to you, I'm gonna throw you down a ladder so you got a way to get to it. God said he's gonna give you a way to get to from where you are to where you see yourself in God. God's got a ladder for you. God's got a ladder for you. I said, God's got a ladder for you. God is going to give you a way to make that change, to reach that dream, to reach that goal. As I get out of here, the Bible said that angels were going up and down on the ladder. It said that angels were going up, and then an angel would come back down. And then an angel went back up, and then Jacob said, then an angel came back down. And they were going up on the ladder to God, and then they would come back down on the ladder to Jacob. And I know somebody here been thinking, my worship is all in vain. I know somebody over here thinking, looking at somebody, it don't take all that. You don't need to be doing all that. It don't take all of that stuff. You ain't got to be saying all that stuff. You ain't got to be doing all that running around. And I know some of you been saying, maybe my praise is all in vain. But somebody said that when praises go up, blessings, they got to come back down. I said that when praises go up, there's a messenger that's taking your praise and he's sending it up to God. And when praises go up, blessings come down. Slap your neighbor and say, rain on me, God. 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 Oh. I gotta get out of here. Look, Jacob woke up from his dream and he said, I was in the house of God. But it wasn't four walls. They didn't have a steeple. They didn't have any of that stuff. But what Jacob had was the presence of God with him. And I came by to tell somebody that if you came looking for entertainment, I can't help you with that. If you came looking for a perfect preacher, I can't help you with that. If you came looking for perfect people, I can't help you with that. But I came by to tell somebody, if you came looking for Jesus, if you came looking for a rock that can give stability to your life, if you came looking to know Jesus, if you came looking to know how to walk like him, talk like him, serve like him, die to self like him, rise up and be new like him, if you came looking for Jesus, look at your neighbor and say, you come to the right place. You come to the right place. You come to the right place. I got a revelation that God is in this place. This is none other than the house of God, and I did not know it. This is none other than the place, the gate to heaven. Whatever you need, you can get to it from this location. Y'all, I got to quit. I just want you to look at your neighbor. I want you to look them in the eye. And I want you to give them confidence. Give them confidence that you have come to the right place. You're not here by accident or incident. You're here because God led you here. You're not here because you stumbled up here. You're here because God is getting ready to do some stuff in your life. You're here because God is getting ready to open up some stuff in your life. You're here because God has a promise for you. You're here because God wants to equip you. You're here because God has a destiny for your life. You're here because God is getting ready to take you somewhere. You're here because it's not over until God says it's over. You're here because God is not through with you yet. You're here because God has you on a journey. You come to the right place. Stand on your feet all over the building. Stand on your feet all over the building. God was in this place and I didn't even know it. The power of God was in this place and I didn't even know it. Everything I needed was in this place and I didn't even know it. the Savior was in this place and I didn't even know it. Hope was in this place and I didn't even know it. The Holy Ghost that had the power to fill me was in this place and I didn't even know it. He's in this place. Prayer warriors, would you come? The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Would you come? Would you come?